Thanks,
Penny.
You want to write with us?
Yeah. I'm Charlene, I'm an addict.
Hi, Charlene.
And, I feel really overwhelmed sitting here and actually on the way up here on the train as well. Because I never thought that I'd be sitting here doing a chair again, and the higher power had other ideas. and it's so powerful sitting here again, because at 8 years clean, I got addicted to prescription pills, and I was in a rehab in Thailand, and I was spewing up, my legs kept cramping up, I couldn't walk, I was screaming into the pillar, and a friend of mine in NA sent me a message, and she said, "Shah, listen to your chair on the internet." And it was, I think I was about, I don't know, 6.5 years clean. And in this meeting, I was lying in that bed, and I put my own chair on. And I could hear this girl who was confident and had a good life, had a strong message. And I was lying in that bed, and I was like, I'm never going to be her again. I can't even get through today. I want to use so bad. And I even made myself laugh. I was like, "That me, Shah, you're funny. You're a funny girl." And then I got the phone call, "Will you come and do the share at the speakers meeting?" And I thought, yeah, God's got other plans. You will be that strong girl again. And I thought about what I want to share here tonight, and I want to share what it was like having clean time and becoming hopeless again. And if there's anyone in this room tonight that's relapsed, that's still using and thinks that they can't get it, yes, you can. And I've got, what was it like? It was, it was the most horrific detox compared to other ones physically. And but I should speak about the lead up to it, what happened. And I come in when I was 21, about 6 stone, with nothing, totally neurotic and stuff. And I got clean and went to meetings and done the steps, and my life got good, and it got beyond my wildest dreams, and I got a really good job. I had sponsees, I was in a relationship, and on the outside it looked fantastic, and I slowly I stopped praying. I stopped going to meetings. Like, it was more important to go Brent Cross to buy a new top, or it was more important to go travelling. It was more important to work, and I put everything in front of my recovery. I stopped seeing friends in recovery, and money and the outside stuff become my God, and I thought that's what would make me acceptable, because somewhere inside I'd cut off from the spirit, and the spirit that's here tonight, which is why I felt quite overwhelmed looking at Penny, looking at Ros, Michael, the spirit of love and compassion. And I'm ashamed to say it now, but it is my reality of the state of my spiritual condition, that if someone had come in that had relapsed, I'd have no compassion. I'd think, well, what ain't they doing right? And that's not my experience today, and that's a great gift, because I know it's just about today. And and it's really strange. It's not strange, it's God working in my life, that I come back from the rehab, and I went to the London convention, and I sat the whole way through the chair, and I was crying my eyes out, and I was sitting next to Michael, and we're doing the chair tonight. And I hadn't met Michael before, and he said, "But what's up?" And I said, I had a clean time, and I've relapsed, and I was just crying, and the love that I felt from you, I'm so glad that I was sitting next to you there, because I was full of shame. And to feel shame in a Narcotics Anonymous meeting is fucking insane. It's my normal state is to use drugs. I find life and stuff like that abnormal. So the pride, and I come into the meetings, the boyfriend had left me, I had no job, I'd lost all my money, I was raging, and I thought I had all this knowledge, and then I'd have newcomers say to me, "Well, what you need to do?" And there was someone behind them, and I just mouthed, "Get them the fuck away from me." Sorry, I didn't know. I'm not swearing. You know, if you want to ring me, I just couldn't see that they were trying to be helpful. My pride was huge, I was thinking. And that was... it's okay to say, I couldn't be humble. I weren't humble, and it was my head. I was sitting in my home group and meetings and stuff, and people were sharing, and I was, what was going on inside my head was, they're so self-indulgent. I don't want to hear about your feelings. I want to hear about what I'm going to do to live today, and I'm not hearing it. And rather than say that, I'd get up and walk out the meeting, and I'd be in my car, and I'd be crying out, and then I'm shouting at God, and knowing it weren't right that I weren't staying in the meeting, but I weren't opening my mouth. And and there was a lot of screaming to the God of my understanding. I mean, I know today it's not about how I talk to him, this is just about talking to him. And I managed to go to the meeting, and I went in this meeting, and I looked around, and there was people that I've known for years, and something changed in my head and said, "Charlene, these are your family. These are people that have been with you your whole journey. Ask for help." And I knew I was going to use. I said, "I'm Charlene, I'm an addict, and I know I'm going to use. And I'm in such a mess. Please, will someone help me?" And the help was there. Like me, Roz, Sarah, Lauren, these are girls that I've known for 14 years. And we went out for something to eat after, and we laughed. And it changed then, I suppose. And I'll never forget coming back from the treatment centre and walking into a meeting in Hampstead, and John turning round saying to me, "Welcome home, Char." I'd been in Thailand, there weren't no meetings where I was or anything, and I also had a friend text me of an empty seat and said, "We're waiting for you." So what am I trying to say? Addiction's huge, and the power of that it had in my mind, and I was going to use again. And What stopped it? It was love. It was love. It was unconditional love of, we don't care what you've got. We don't care if you're clean. We love you and we want the best for you. And stay with us. And I'm on the willing side again. thank you. And I will say this, I remember sitting there and I got to a stage, clean as long as I was. I didn't even want a commitment. I'm like, let the newcomers do the commitment. Let me tell you, when you ain't even got enough clean time to do a commitment, you want a commitment. I didn't have enough clean time to do the fucking secretary and stuff like that. Today, I take my home group, which is Tuesday Hampstead Step meeting. I'm secretary of that meeting, and I make the tea at another home group. And what I had to do was, I didn't know how to get humble. I just had to go to meetings every day, sometimes two times a day. I had to pray constantly, not just in the morning. I had to keep being honest about all that anger, the rage. I had to just keep coming back. And I felt like I'd lost so much in my relapse. And it's only today that I realise that I'm gaining so much. So much. I'm not talking about all the outside stuff. I'm talking about inside. I'm talking about the love and compassion that on a daily basis I'm able to start giving to myself, because this has got a bit, this is a disease of self-hatred that wants me dead. And how am I getting that? From you lot. From Narcotics Anonymous. I mean, my mum died at 40, she was an addict. And my dad's drunk, lives in a bedsit. My little brother's in addiction. And so I never really, I come from addiction. I never had a family unit. And Narcotics Anonymous is my family. Always there for me. I just want to say, once again, to whoever's struggling or feel hopeless or hate yourself for everything you've lost, we love you and keep coming back.